The sugary drink issue, this has taken an interesting turn today with the independent think tank New Zealand Initiative saying it's time to look for another solution other than a sugar tax, which we've heard an awful lot about over the last few years, and we've had a few celebrities promoting that as well, our chefs. And the health issues, many say, are caused by these sugary drinks. Now, we'll talk to the New Zealand Initiative's chief economist, Dr. Eric Crampton, in a minute. He's the one who got a report on the idea of a possible sugar tax released under the Official Information Act. He's taking issue with a lot of the research backing an excise on sugary drinks. He reckons there are no real-life studies that don't have, and that he has problems with the methodology used in a lot of studies, and he doesn't think there are any real life studies that have actually identified an impact on health outcomes. What's your gut reaction to that, Ella?
Well, I'm of the view that any diet that consists primarily of processed food is not going to be as good for you as an individual as one that, you know, allows us to eat more of these sugars and other nutrients in their unprocessed state. I do think it's interesting, and I always, as a researcher, like to double-check and triangulate, because I'm of the view that there have been some quite convincing studies about some of the long-term negative impacts about processed sugars, maybe not fizzy drinks, but processed sugars. So, this encourages me to go back to the books and see if I can refute his argument that there's no evidence.
Gary, what do you feel? You live a healthy life, don't you?
Well, some would deny that, but I've spoken to a few docs on this. Again, bit of research, Ellie.
You just teach us better, aren't you?
I know. First of all, I tried to read the economic report that we were sent, and it's an appalling amount of gobbledygook in it. But it's all based on a market analysis and consumers and all that sort of stuff. And I really didn't think it was helpful at all. But the docs I talked to said that the current literature around the world is saying that actually some of these techniques are working. And Mexico is the one that everyone talks about, but it took 2 to 3 years before they could get any change that they were able to measure, and that they're only just starting to see some results now. And that the UK has just recently started removing sugar from drinks. I think that what we need to be looking at is, we should be saying to our kids, stop drinking fizzy drinks. And I found it, Ella just reminded me of a conversation Pam and I had in the last few days where I was drinking this delicious orange juice. And Pam said, "Do you realise you've just drunk the juice out of about 8 oranges?" and you don't think about those things. And then you look back at the bottle and you look at how much sugar's in it. And you think, my God.
And you look at that in terms of teaspoons as well, and it can be quite frightening.
Yeah.
Just to be clear too, it's the NZEIR that did the report that was going to inform the Ministry of Health, and New Zealand Initiative is the group that Eric is with, and that's Eric we're going to talk to now. Just wanted to clarify that. Mm. Hi, Eric. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
So this report was done to advise the Ministry of Health how to deal with health problems associated with sugary drinks, but you don't believe there are any?
Oh, I'll clarify a fair bit here. The study was commissioned by the Ministry of Health from NZIER to look at the effects of sugar taxes. It wasn't a comprehensive look at strategies for addressing obesity or the negative health effects of eating too much sugar. It was rather looking at a particular intervention around soda taxes or sugar taxes more generally to see whether those actually improve health outcomes. In NZIER's analysis, which comes to a very similar conclusion to some work that the initiative had done in 2016, but they've looked through more studies on it, they found that the evidence of negative effects of, they found that excise taxes don't do very much to deter consumption, that many of the studies overestimate the effects because of problems in how they go about measuring it, And if the effect of taxes on consumption is very small, it's going to be really hard for that to have then effects on health, whether it's longer term or shorter term. So you're right that some of the sugar taxes that have been implemented have been fairly recent, and maybe there would be longer term health effects. But if they haven't done very much to reduce consumption, then they can't do very much in the longer term to affect health. So that's what the study found. The study was released to the ministry in August 2017. I requested under the Official Information Act in October, and I finally got it just earlier this week from the ministry, who also then allowed NZIER to put it up on their website.
Doesn't it come down to the amount of tax, though? I heard you say a small amount of tax and it will not necessarily have the effect, but isn't it about tax affecting the price of the good, making it unaffordable, making it unable to be bought by people who, well, not only people who might be more likely to put on weight, we've heard the analogy of a bottle of milk versus a bottle of fizzy drink, but isn't it the size of the tax here, Eric? Would you not agree that if the tax was large enough, that could indeed have positive effects on affordability and purchase and consumption of the drink?
I certainly could not disagree with that. The study looked at taxes that have been in the range that have been implemented across the world and found there to have been very little effect. If we look at the Mexican study, the peso per liter tax there is fairly high if you look at it relative to household income among poor households. And even there, we weren't seeing particularly large effects. But if you put on a very large excise tax on sugar, comparable, say, to the amount of excise that's on tobacco, it'd be shocking if there weren't an effect. But then we'd have to be thinking about whether we would really want 60% of the price of a bag of sugar to be excise.
Mm. I must ask, do you have a sugary drink company as a client?
Well, NZIER was commissioned to do this work by the Ministry of Health. The New Zealand Initiative is a membership organization. We have about 50 of the country's top corporates as members of the initiative, and that includes Coke. But NZIER did this work, and they reached the same conclusion that we did. And it was the Ministry of Health that asked them to do it. And they're relying also on some work that's being done at Waikato University under a Marsden grant by Professor John Gibson there, who's funded through Marsden. I think that this report, independently commissioned by the ministry, should put paid to arguments that those who are skeptical about the benefits of sugar taxes are either ideologically driven or just driven by funding arrangements. This one was entirely based on Ministry of Health's commissioning.
All right.
Could I ask a question, Eric? Do you watch the amount of sugar that you consume?
I don't have that much of a sweet tooth. I don't particularly pay attention to how much sugar I consume, but I'm blessed by genes, perhaps, to stay fairly trim no matter what I do. We don't let our kids drink that much soda. It's far more of a treat thing, and I think that that's pretty sensible for everybody. But that doesn't mean that soda taxes would be effective in changing behaviors. If you think that the primary if you think that soda taxes are the best way of trying to stop people from, say, putting soda or apple juice into a baby's bottle, I think you should give your head a shake. There are more targeted things that people should be looking at for those kinds of problems.
Can I just add that the tax on tobacco products combined with the education advertising strategy certainly seems to be successful in this country.
Yep.
And using that same kind of logic, if we truly believe that processed sugar is, you know, harming our health, then it theoretically should also work.
Well, again, we have to look at how much tax there is on cigarettes compared to the kinds of soda taxes that people have been proposing or sugar taxes that people have been proposing. All of the talk that you hear around soda or sugar taxes is on the range of 10 or 20%, right? And if you look at a package of cigarettes that retails for $20, a little over $12 of that is going to be tax. So the tax is 60% of the final price. The tax is over 100% of the base price. Nobody's talking about soda taxes in that range, and if soda tax campaigners wished to advocate for a doubling of the price of anything that contains sugar, well, they're welcome to do that, but that would be so, kind of the range you'd need to have those kinds of effects.
So in a way, you're accepting that taxes do actually impact on behavior?
Well, the study has shown that the soda taxes that have been...
A high tax, Eric.
A very high tax. Of course a high tax would, but you would have a lot of other spillover problems. So it'd be a complicated regime to set up. There's always going to be substitution effects that mean that the effect that you're going to get is smaller than you'd hoped. But, of course, a very, very high tax would necessarily reduce consumption. It's just that that seems unpalatable to the public and would be pretty unlikely to pass cost-benefit assessment because it would have substantial negative effects on a lot of households.
New Zealand Initiative's Chief Economist, Dr. Eric Crampton, thank you for your time.